How often have you been hiking and you've been just so focused on looking at the giant mountain in front of you or that really big tree or that really big lake and you felt so small or insignificant compared to that big, gigantic thing? I'm excited to share my conversation with Brandilyn today. She is a scientist and she's amazing. And she is going to be presenting at our upcoming summit. And she's going to be talking about all of these things, like connecting the scientific world with the spiritual world and just putting it all together. And I think you're going to find what she does really interesting as well. So Brandilyn is speaking at our upcoming virtual summit. You'll be able to find out all about it by visiting our website, hikelikeawoman.com. So stop what you're doing right now and head on over to hikelikeawoman.com and check out our summit. It is going to happen May 8th through the 12th. It's completely virtual. So it's a series of virtual presentations. You'll be able to enjoy them from anywhere in the world. And if you can't make it live for the summit, you'll be able to catch a replay later. So it's all good. So head on over to our website, hikelikeawoman.com, to learn about our summit. But for now, enjoy my conversation with Brandilyn.
Let's just dive in. I was looking at your book on Amazon. Holy cow. Okay. So Brandilyn, there it is. Tell me a little bit about your background in science. Specifically, biology, what is it? Biology, environmental science, all the things. Tell me a little bit about this.
Okay, so I went to school. I went to college for a long, long time and earned my PhD in environmental science. Ever since I was a little girl, I had a passion for the micro, for the small. My parents bought me a microscope when I was young. I grew up on a farm. My dad was a farmer. So I grew up looking at the small world. And then I served as a civilian supporting the Army as a microbiologist and a risk assessor for 15 years.
Wow.
And so I got to experience, and that was from 2001 to 2015-ish, and really enjoyed that capacity to support our soldiers and help them understand the benefits and the risks associated with microorganisms. So that was a fantastic season of my life. Then we had our son in 2006, and I went into the classroom to be the science mom. Like, I was so excited. We were going to do all this science.
Yeah.
That was in that kind of funny time when science was less than because they had to teach reading and math. And my argument was, but we can teach that reading and math and everything through science.
Yeah.
And so then I transitioned into education. And so then for the last several years, I was either a science coach at a school, and then I recently got into my own classroom where I'm the science teacher now, and it's wonderful. Oh, hold on. And then in between that, I work at an outdoor school, and so I was constantly trying to bring the science into the outdoor nature, and so then it started kind of like all coming together in my mind, like, I can teach science. And so I have this new phrase I'm working on. So you guys, this is my test phrase.
Okay.
So my desire and my hope is to teach through science while traversing through nature to find spiritual transformation.
What? I love it. You connected three very cool things there.
Yeah, here's my diagram. This is what I've been working on. It's awesome. So I can share it with you too.
I love this. You go from like hard science, right, to spiritual, which is kind of a softer topic. We got to rewind a little bit in your history and your background here. You said you worked for the Army as a civilian for 15 years. I was in the Army. And so what did you do? Did you work for the Army Corps of Engineers?
I was with Army, they call it now Public Health Command, so Aberdeen Proving Ground in Maryland.
Yeah.
And so I was behind the scenes risk assessor trying to better understand how do we manage risk to microorganisms in air, food, and water to keep our soldiers safe.
That's so awesome. So you were probably behind the scenes on all of the information we got before deploying to Iraq and Afghanistan about leishmaniasis, is that how you say it? And all of the things that we encountered when we deployed. What a cool circle moment for me.
Oh, good. Yeah, part of the team, right? There's right, and there were chemicals. So in my little department, there were people like myself that focused on microbes.
Yeah.
There were people that sat next to me that focused on chemicals. And together, yes, we were working to try to keep you guys safe. And how do we help with these exposures? And what do we need to do when exposures happen? And how do we know how much is too much? So yeah, we were behind the scenes trying to make it safer for you guys.
Well, thank you. I think a lot of soldiers don't realize the amount of research and effort that goes into all of those things. So thank you. Your job was important.
This is a fun connection. Yes. And
such a fun connection.
Cool, yeah.
Yes. So you, you're an educator by heart.
Yeah.
When I'm out on a hike and I'm always looking at the big picture, the big mountain range, the big lake, the big tree. You said you like to look at the tiny, tiny micro organisms, micro things. How can I appreciate those little tiny parts of the environment a little bit better when I'm out on a hike?
Well, one way I like to think about it is we stop for a minute and look under our feet. What are we walking on? And why is it important? That's the question you're asking, right? Why mm-hmm. is it important?
Yeah.
So we go back to the biology. We go back to the oxygen that we're breathing as we're hiking. We go back to the sunlight that we're feeling. All of that is either being used by or being produced by microorganisms that start the process so that the nutrients are available so that plants can grow, so that we can grow, so that we can eat the plants and we can eat the animals that eat the plants. Like all of that has to start somewhere. Uh-huh. And it actually starts, like it's a circle. So one could argue, where does it really start?
Yeah.
Chicken and egg argument. But yeah, for simplicity, it has to start somewhere. And it starts with the very, very small things that are happening in the soil that allow plants to grow. And if plants don't grow, everything else starts to break down, right? And so when we look down and we think, what is under my feet that I am walking on mm-hmm. that's actually providing this opportunity for me to appreciate the big? The
yeah.
other side of that and another piece of that is the diversity. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, we're still discovering. We're still figuring out. I think that's one of the awesome things about science is like, we're never going to run out of things to discover. I hope, at least not in my life.
Yeah.
We're still discovering. And so we come back to this diversity, which takes us into the spiritual conversation of if each of us were created uniquely, which we were or are, and you know, that's a whole conversation too. Are we just present or were we created? And I'm open to all of these conversations.
Yeah.
But I believe we were created. So if every one of us were created as beautiful, unique individuals, mm-hmm. how important is it that we each show up and do our thing? Because if one of those microbes, so you take it back to these tiny little microbes, if one microbe doesn't do its thing, then uh-huh. look at all the chain events that can't happen. Same with us. If we don't do our thing, what's not going to happen? So it comes back to this diversity and it lets us open up into conversations like, I'm different than you. And that's a beautiful thing because. And so we move from comparison and like, oh, I'm not as smart. Oh, I don't do that. Oh, I'm no good at that. She's really good. Like where we compare and we, and we start to instead think, what? I'm so uniquely made and I have something super important that I need to do, which is different than you. And so let's not compare. Let's celebrate. And that's diversity. And then that's where I got that love, my book idea, lift others, value everyone, because every single person is important.
There's so much to unpack that. First, I can see in your face that this topic just lights you up. You are on fire and you're just passionate talking about this. How did you become passionate about this and making this connection, this circle, if you will?
Well, like I said, so I'm a God girl. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a Jesus girl. I have been in prayer for years to connect these dots, like help me connect this, because for many, many years I struggled. I was a scientist. I'm a Christian. I'm a nature lover. And I had these is the right word desperate? That's not the right word. How do you say that word? You know, three completely different parts of my life.
Yeah.
And I would struggle because as a Christian, I wanted to be a really good Christian. As a scientist, I want to be a good scientist. As a nature person, right? And I'm always like, there's a lot of tension between all three of those. There's some tension that happens. And so for years, I mean, this is a process that has been going on going around. I have been in prayer, like, Lord, like, show me how I can connect these together in a non-threatening, non-confrontational way that I can bring people into a space where they can become their best self. Mm-hmm. And like for me, I always preface, like for me, I'm a God girl, but I'm open to learning. I'm open to experiencing others because my job isn't to make people Christian. My job, I fully believe, is to bring people where they can figure out what it is that they need to do for them. And this takes me back to that diversity. Like my God is a God of diversity, which is evident in the creatures all around us. So why would he expect us all to be the same? That's one of my frustrations. I'm also like a little bit rebellious. I'm a little bit rebellious on this whole religion thing. But anyway, I'm not answering your question, but I am.
You are. Yeah. I like where you're going.
Together is so through lots of study, lots of prayer, lots of thinking, lots of tears, lots of anguish, lots of frustration.
Yeah.
It finally, in the last literally 6 months, so this is all also kind of new how I'm bringing it all together. It all came together. And he revealed to me one day I was out hiking. I was like on a retreat, a hiking / retreat / class all together. And I was doing some time alone. And he was like, let me watch. He's like, literally, he was like, let me show you how this is going to work. And I could show you my journal. Like it just came out. Here's the three connections. These words teach, traverse, transform. It's all just come out. So that's how it is.
That's so special. I'm not a religious woman at all, but I love that you, so spirituality is so different for everybody. And I don't think you need to be a certain religion or go to a certain church to have a spiritual experience in nature or to have a spiritual connection with the earth. And I love that you are so open-minded to acknowledge these three conflicting parts of your life and then figure out how to put them together in a way that is welcoming to that diversity that you speak of.
Yeah. And I love what I'm learning, and I'm loving learning from other people and listening to their conversations and like you. And that's what I think, that's where this beauty of traversing comes in, because it's when we're on the trail and we're out there traversing and we're slowing life down and we don't have to rush home and cook dinner. We don't have to write out there for days.
Yeah.
And suddenly the world just slows down. We can have such deep conversations.
Yeah.
And we can explore, and we don't all have to think alike. We don't all have to have the same ideas. We can find unity and peace inside of all of this diversity. And then I think it makes us, each of us, a better person when we can better understand one another, right? Like, so I think that traversing part is so important, because we don't have sound bites. That's one of my frustrations living in 2023, is the world takes these immensely complex topics and sound bites it into something that's like, that doesn't even make sense, or it's so judgmental, or it's so hurtful because you're not understanding and capturing the complexity of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I love learning about other people's experiences with regard to spirituality. And like I always say, I know what works for me, and I'm happy to share, but my goal is to never push it onto anyone. Like if they ask, I'll talk about it. But I can talk about, I welcome the conversation and then just see what happens. That's what I like. I just kind of like to see how it unfolds.
I love that you mentioned traversing, and gave this, in my mind, I had this analogy of, you know, hiking with a good friend and being able to have those in-depth conversations. The conversations that we have in the backcountry with our family, with our friends, are hands down the best conversations. And it's so interesting that you mentioned that. You're about my 25th call for summit presenters. And wow. I would say that 80% of the women that I've talked to who are presenting at the summit have in some way mentioned that connection as we walk and as we talk. It's such a powerful thing.
It is. And think back, you know, before the invention of the car,
mm-hmm.
think back how we did life. We were slower and mm-hmm. we were typically with people for these extended periods of time.
Yeah.
Right? Either riding a horse and before the horses, walking. Mm-hmm. And so now where we zip, you know, it takes us 10 minutes to go something that used to take 4, 5, 6 hours perhaps, mm-hmm. right? And then it was this whole commitment into doing whatever you were doing.
Yeah.
And you would build community in that, right? Yeah. Just life was naturally building community. And now we're also isolated with our cars, with our phones, with our computers. Like, there's such advantages to technology like this and
yeah.
this whole
yeah.
summit that you're going to need to bring this world together. So wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we have to remember too, in our deepest soul, in our most innate brain, in our most animalistic being,
mm-hmm.
we're intended to be slower and in community. And I think that's why we hike. That's exactly why we go out. Like, get us away from all this lovely technology.
Yeah. I've been making a real deliberate effort to slow down. Like, I sold my outdoor retail store and ski shop because I wanted to slow down. And one thing that I'm trying to do is I want to bring back this sense of womanhood. You know, you talked about like walking and a buggy, but I also think about like when women would sit around and they would can beans together, or women would come together and they would sew a quilt for someone who was sick, or women would come together and bake bread. And I really want to bring that sense of community back, where it's like, come to my home. This is where I live. You are welcome in my home. It might not be clean, but please come to my home and let's share this experience that our grandmothers experienced on a regular basis.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think we've lost a lot. We've lost a lot in I like that too, that idea of the multi-generational, right?
And yeah.
It's the young people sitting with the old people,
mm-hmm.
sewing, creating something for someone else, canning, whatever out product there was, yeah. it was typically for someone else. And there were multiple generations there that were talking, and the youngs were listening, the olds were sharing, the middles were recognizing like, oh, maybe we're not supposed to have it all figured out, right? Versus, yeah, I love that. I love that. Oh.
Yeah. If you were here in Wyoming with me, I would have you come over to lunch today, because that's what I'm doing. We talked about your book, and tell us a little bit how that your book is going to be, or tell us about your presentation at the summit, because I think it's going to be a little bit about what you talk about in your book. Can you give us like a little sneak peek about what you're going to be discussing?
Well, I don't have it totally figured out, but
that's okay. Give me your best idea.
So in my book, so my book is all about questioning systems, and it comes to this, it's about this reluctant rebel. So it's part of my journey when I was just speaking about this 10-year process of figuring out how does this all fit together? And can I revolt against this modern day religion? Anyway, so that's how I came about that. So the book is kind of like about systems and questioning systems, and it's okay and like go for it. And then at the end of the book, I talk about one of the steps is find joy in the small. So I provide a list of steps when you're questioning systems and implementing change in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel one of the most important things is that we celebrate small. And so I'm going to use that as a lead in into a little bit of science on the small, and then work towards that recognizing your greatness. I call it scattered brilliance. So that's another term I coined, is, you know, light can either be highly focused like a laser beam, Or it can be so bright that it fills up an entire baseball stadium.
Yeah.
And that, thinking of that idea of each of us is scattered brilliance. We're filling this world with brilliance. And so I'm working, the title of my program, I think, is going to be From Seen to Unseen, or it might be From Unseen to Seen. I haven't decided which way I want to enter into it, but that's the idea, is transitioning and trying to build a bridge between the seen and the unseen. And that can look, like I was saying, scientifically with microbes, or it's spiritually in the spiritual realm. So we go from the physical world to either the micro world or the spiritual world.
I can't wait. I can't wait for your presentation. I'm going to order your book. I think you're such a delight. I'm so nice. I'm so glad to meet you. You just have a very positive aura. You know, you're just so cool, Brandilyn.
Thank you. Well, I have to say, the timing of all of this and this opportunity for me to float, focus and figure this out is so timely as well. And so I give all of that love right back to you, because I'm looking at you thinking, this is amazing. And she's putting this together, and she has such a vision, and she knows how to manage all this. So I think we're mutual admirers.
The universe just brought us together. Do you have a website or social media? Is there a place where people can go, or should we direct them to your book on Amazon?
I do have a website. It's brandilynthrawn.com.
Okay.
I need to update it. I mean, we can certainly direct people. And again, this is good. This is a great excuse for me to get in there and update it and keep it live and happening, because I have struggled with that. But you are giving me such reason. And I love this. Like I said, this is, I truly believe this is a God thing. Like we didn't just happen to connect. Like this is very meaningful.
Yeah.
So we can direct them to my website for sure. And then I'll get on there and try to get it a little dusted off and go from there.
All right. Well, no rush. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me and sharing your story and your experience and your vision. This is beautiful.
There's a lot to think about from our conversation, and I did learn one thing about Brandilyn. She just has this positive energy that is contagious, and I'm so excited for her to share that energy with you at our upcoming virtual summit. If you want to learn about that and learn how you can join us, head on over to our website, hikelikeawoman.com. Thanks so much. I'll catch you next time.